Chapter 11. Ulanor, Gorkagrod. The anarchic sprawl of the outer city butted up against larger, more purpose-built edifices in central Gorkagrod. The maze of overlapping roofs and walkways, the cable runs and subterranean tunnels, winding alleys and semi-derelict construction sites that had enabled the assassin to move this close, abruptly stopped. Heading into Gorkagrod, Esad Wire found evidence of the workforce that had built the city. Human corpses left out where vermin and smaller greenskins picked at flesh and bones. Not only humans had given their lives in the labor. A few Eldar and species he could not identify shared the mass graves with the Emperor's servants. He came across filthy, half-collapsed cage houses and cell blocks that must have held thousands of slaves in this quarter alone. The orcs' smaller cousins, the Gretchen, had claimed these prisons in the shadow of the great fortresses of their overlords and turned them into shanties that were home to hundreds of screeching, bickering aliens. He ditched the buggy about 4 kilometers from where he had taken it. Contrary to their previous apathy, the orcs had mustered from their barracks and shanty houses when starships started falling from the skies. On foot, his progress was slower but more assured. But now he faced a fresh challenge. Beastcruel had hoped that the fall of night would assist him, but the roads of the inner city were lit with bright lamps, while searchlights cut the sky to aid the anti-aircraft guns that jutted from the roofs like the thorns of a bush. The orcs were out in numbers, hundreds trudging down into the ghetto, as many riding on battle wagons, trikes, buggies, and other vehicles. He had seen nothing of the larger war engines, but he knew that they had to be somewhere, possibly using a more accessible route out of the city. Crouched in the shadow of a chimney stack, Cruel watched the near-endless procession of aliens going past. It seemed to him as much a carnival as a war mustering, reminding him of the ranting, self-flagellating zealots that sometimes gathered outside the great shrines that had been erected in worship of the Emperor. There were banners and icons depicting orcish faces, surrounded by glyph runes he could not decipher, which he assumed might be devotions and prayers. Quite a lot of the orcs seemed to be drunk, at least as far as Cruel could tell with his limited experience. They had barrels and bottles that they repeatedly drank from, slopping thick liquid into large cups and raising them in toast to each other. Gretchen scurried everywhere, fetching and carrying weapons, ammunition, roasted meat on skewers, shiny baubles, and everything else beside. They clung to the footplates and roll bars of the wagons and scampered underfoot through the crowds of marching orcs, some of them clearly selling wares, others simply trying not to be trodden underfoot. Cruel jumped to the next roof. He had cast off his orcish disguise in favour of a return to chameleon stealth and unhindered agility. From this new vantage point, the assassin could see further up the broad street to a pair of reinforced towers flanking the highway. There didn't seem to be actual gates, but the road was barred by a body of orc warriors in what appeared to be uniforms. Nothing quite so elaborate as the dress style of the Astra Militarum, but the 2 dozen or so Xenos wore black flak jackets reinforced with rivets and square black banners emblazoned with sigils of a red fist. These guards patrolled back and forth, clubbing lesser warriors seemingly at random, sometimes stopping a truck or buggy to extract information, or possibly bribes, from those aboard. If there was one blessing to be found in the mobilization, it was that Cruel knew he would not be heard. The orcs' laughter and shouts competed with the snarl of engines. On the open beds of some of the transports, orcs drummed with more enthusiasm than rhythm and thrashed at amplified string instruments, chanting and bellowing along to their battle music. Others listened to portable voxcasters, a horrendous cacophony blaring from speakers attached to their vehicles or carried by diminutive assistants. Cruel's eye was drawn to a peculiar couple of orcs a little distance from the gate. The two of them stood on crates and shouted at the passing greenskins from their vantage point. A crowd of Gretchen holding placards filled with orc glyphs surrounded them. Sometimes one of the orcs would reach into a sack and scatter handfuls of shells and bullets into the crowd, while the other bared its fangs, raised its hands in the air, and shook its fists even more vigorously. Many of the greenskins stopped to pick up the thrown ammunition, clasping the bullets in their fists and bellowing approval to the two orcs. More Gretchen tumbled and fought through the legs of their betters, trying to get as many of the gift shells as possible, snapping and clawing. The assassin watched this behavior for several minutes until he realized what the cajoling, bullet-scattering orcs were doing. They were preaching. While the great minds of the Imperium had been focused on anticipating what new machines and warriors might emerge from this accelerated development of the orcs, none had considered the emergence of other social constructs, such as music and entertainment. And just as the ecclesiarchy had risen in power in recent centuries, so it seemed that religion was also emerging in the ranks of the orcs. Beast continued towards the divide between shanty and city proper. He moved away from the main thoroughfare to where it was darker. Beneath the shadow of the great fortress buildings ringing the upper mountain, the narrower roads were choked with rocks, metal, rubble, and trash, detritus thrown down from roofs and stories above, or simply left heaped where it had been discarded during construction of the inner city. The compounds and shanty terraces were abandoned, but Cruel was pleased to see that the buildings were still mostly intact and butted directly up to the outer walls of the higher citadels. The foundations were made from a type of ferrocrete, soft enough for his reinforced fingers to make handholds. A spidery, darker shadow in the night, Beast Cruel climbed. It took several minutes, moving past lit windows and iron-railed walkways until he reached a rampart isolated from any view of the upper fortifications. He pulled himself over the ledge and onto the walkway. A door swung open to his right, spilling blue light onto the rampart. Cruel's camellia line shifted rapidly, trying to adjust from total darkness to the grey of artificial stone. Something grunted in the doorway, stepping out. Cruel sprang, lancing his monostiletto through the orc's left eye, piercing the brain. He rode the body down as it crashed to the hard floor. He looked up, finding himself at the threshold of some kind of guardroom or barracks dorm. Three orcs sat around a table, tossing glyph-marked tiles, moving small metal effigies across a triangular board. Steaming mugs sat beside their game, along with bowls that held chewed bones and remnants of other food. The orcs looked up at the commotion, red eyes widening in shock. Combat stims flooded his body. Cruel threw himself into the room, his needler coughing projectiles into the face of the orc furthest from the door. The alien warrior slumped, twitching as anti-Xenos toxins shut down its organs. The closest orc rose from a sagging couch, tugging madly at the pistol in its belt. The assassin's fist found its gaping mouth, shattering its jaw and crushing its throat with a spray of thick blood. The third pushed itself towards another door, or rather the vox set visible in the room beyond, shouting a warning. Cruel felled it with more needler fire and burst into the adjacent chamber. Two Gretchen manned the communication system. They spun on their stools. Cruel snapped the arm of the one reaching towards a vox pickup and kicked the other into the wall. Half a second later, his fists cut short their horrified squeaks and hisses. Crouched in the doorway, he waited and listened. A minute passed. Nothing came. Cruel stalked back to the exterior and glanced down to the outer city. The lamps and lanterns of the orcs made rivers of fire pouring towards the distant plains. Looking further still, he could see the small stars of aircraft jets and the red blossoms of artillery detonations. The view crackled and sparked where shells and missiles hit the force field protecting the city. Many would die in the assault, thousands or tens of thousands, but it was unavoidable. The greater the fury thrown at the city, the more opportunity for Cruel to get to his target and strike. The best way to help mankind in the grander scheme, and those battling for Gorkogrod, was to kill the great beast. Invigorated by these thoughts, Cruel started to climb again, seeking a vantage point from which he would be able to plan the next phase of the infiltration.